Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You're going to see a provision, first of all, to secure the border. Second of all, to deal with those who've come here illegally. And third, to make sure that our immigration policies are more open and transparent to the many people who do want to come here illegally. That's going
to
happen.
To the many people who do want to come here illegally, Mr. Romney, again, they've sent out the Joker. Again, they've sent out the spoiler to undermine the Republican brand, which is already as meek as a church mouse. Mr. Romney, again, you're doing it again. I mean, you threw the last election, we know that. And now you're out there again saying that the minute the Republicans win, they're going to grant amnesty to illegals. Are you kidding me? Okay, that's it. If we got some music, whatever you have, just fire it away. It's the Savage Nation. We're open for business. The phone number is 855-407-2822. And we're going to be talking about Romney for a few minutes, not for longer than that. He's not worth it. But I think he is, again, trying to destroy the Republican brand, and I wonder who sent him out. I don't know whether he works for Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or the DNC, but they couldn't have done a better job for driving people away from the polls. In case you missed it, here is Mitt Romney. And listen carefully when he says the word illegal when he means legal, I think. Listen again. Play it again, Romney.
You're going to see a provision, first of all, to secure the border. Second of all, to deal with those who've come here illegally. And third, to make sure that our immigration policies are more open and transparent to the many people who do want to come here illegally. That's going to happen.
Okay, that does it. Open and transparent. More open and transparent to the people who do want to come here illegally. This is on the eve, the cusp of the most seminal election in modern times. They send out the Joker to undermine the conservative vote and make sure they don't vote. And yet the Washington Post says there's a 96% chance, CNN 96% chance, New York Times 70% chance of Repubes taking the Senate and holding a majority or increasing it in the House of Representatives. So why would they send Romney out? I mean, I'm asking you a question for which there's an obvious answer, right? Now we can play some music.
This song is dedicated to Mitt Romney.
We will rock you.
Yeah, we will rock you, Mitt.
We will,
Mitt, why'd you have to do it, Mitt? So here are the questions of the day. You ready for the questions of the day? Because here they are. Are you ready? Turn the show off. You switched already to music. I've got the questions of the day, and I'll bring them to you in a minute, but I have to ask you something else. Over the weekend, a friend of mine sent me a link. Some friend of his in Washington, D.C. sent him an email on Yahoo, and attached to the email was a picture of my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. Listen carefully. Don't turn the dial. Yahoo did not show the picture of my book. They posted the email with a warning sign saying objectionable material attached. Equivalent, let's say, to a beheading video put out by Al-Qaeda or pornography. How do you feel about Yahoo listing my book cover as objectionable material? How close is this to book banning in this country today under this imposter of a Democratic president? How do you feel about that? You didn't know about it. So I'm going to ask you, if you have a Yahoo email account, to take a picture or get a picture or whatever they call it, a screenshot of my book cover, and they're available all over the place, go to any of the sites, and try to send it as an email to somebody and see what happens, and let's see if Yahoo is continuing to do it, because if they are, I'm going to sue them. I will sue them on five or six different levels. And I'm going to ask you after we do this, how close is this to book banning under this imposter of a president? I also want to talk about something else, and I know this is going to come out of left field. And to begin this, let's play Obama going to ground on clip 16 about women, because that's all they know how to do. Listen to this.
We should be choosing policies that benefit women, because that benefits all of us. Women deserve fair pay. Even though it's 2014, there are women still earning less than men for doing the same work.
We
don't have second-class citizens in this country.
No, we shouldn't.
In the workplace either.
No. Okay, now he finishes up with his little thing in 17. Let's hear that one.
Pregnant workers deserve to be treated fairly. Even today, women can be fired for taking too many bathroom breaks. or forced on unpaid leave just for being pregnant. That's wrong. And we have to choose policies that ensure pregnant workers are treated with dignity and respect.
I think this is ironic coming from a president who's in favor of late-term abortion, that he's suddenly, all of a sudden, worried about pregnant women going to the bathroom. But, you know, there's no level to which a politician won't go. And when it comes to Barack Obama, there's no level below the basement that he won't go to. This guy goes below the basement. He is desperate. I mean, again, women. It's not playing, by the way. The women are not buying it anymore. No woman is buying it. So now that I've opened that woman thing up, I think it's now time to play that thing about weddings that we got ready for you to go, because I have a special announcement to make. All right, all rise, please. All rise. Thank you. Thank you very much. I have an announcement to make. No, it's not that I'm getting married. It's that I'm going to be marrying people. I'm very serious about this. After many, many years of people saying, "Doc Savage, would you officiate at our wedding? It would mean so much to us if you would marry us." Well, I didn't take it seriously. And over the years, I realized that I have to be thinking about a post-radio career. I mean, at some point, I'm going to want to do something other than be on the radio. And one of the areas I'm going to go into is religion. It may be a religious broadcast on radio. It may be an internet something or other, but I'm also going to be considering, beginning January of 2015, performing wedding ceremonies for listeners on a very selected basis. I'm very serious about it. I mean, I went ahead over the weekend and I registered as a minister. If they can call Reverend Al Sharpton Reverend when we don't know, he probably got the certificate out of the same place everyone else does on the internet when he was four, because we have no sign of him having gone to a divinity school. Now, I have a real PhD, so you can call me doctor if you don't mind, but I'm now also a reverend, so you can call me Reverend Dr. Michael Savage if you'd like, because I am going to do this, and I'm going to ask you a question. I'm not making this up for a shtick. How do you feel about Michael Savage performing wedding ceremonies for listeners? Would you want me to do it? Yes or no? You can call 855-400-728. Maybe you're planning on getting married next spring, and you're going to have a regular Catholic wedding, but you want me to officiate. Or you're going to have a Jewish wedding with the chuppah and the glass and the this and the chair, but you want me to officiate it, then you'll have the rabbi do his shtick. Or you're not really religious and you don't want any of the religious people doing it, but you'd love to have my name on your certificate for the rest of your life. Think about that one. I do have to sign those things. It might be worth something years to come. I'm thinking of doing it. I'm not doing it for the business, by the way. Any money I might make, I will donate to charity, because you'll write the checks, I think, directly to a charitable organization. I'm not going into business to become a wedding planner or a wedding performer. I want to do it as a service. I want to go to a party every weekend. In plain English, I want to go to a party every weekend. What's wrong with going to a wedding party every weekend? It certainly would be positive, wouldn't it? I'm not interested in any of this. I have to go and do politics now. I better get another piece of chocolate out of the refrigerator. I had to go eat a piece of chocolate from the radio refrigerator that was frozen for at least 10 years. From the crypt, the bottom of the freezer. I have a piece of Hershey's chocolate in there for 10 years. A little one. I just ate it. So here are the questions of the day. I really got to do this? Here's some questions for the day. I don't know if I want to ask these. Let's see. What are your predictions for tomorrow's election? Oh, God. What is the biggest reason voters have turned against the Democrats? Are voters at all interested in tomorrow's election, or will it be a low turnout except for Republicans? How do you feel about Yahoo listing my book as controversial? Objectionable, not controversial. Did you take my book and convert anyone from the R to the R column, or from the D to the R column? Yes or no? Have you been able to change a D to an R using Stop the Coming Civil War? Have you been in any arguments with friends or family over this coming election? What do you feel is the most important topic in this election? I would say that it's the number one thing is the economy, stupid. Did you know that? You don't realize it's still the biggest problem out there. That's why the Democrats are in such trouble. They've made so many of their cronies so wealthy, they've forgotten that there's people out there who are suffering, by the way. 855-400-7282. We're off to a rallying start here on the Savage Nation. No one's interested in anything, I can tell you that. Let's see what else is in the news. I don't know. I don't think anyone cares anymore. Maybe I could just pack up and go home. They can make another announcement. Maybe that'll attract people's attention. The gains of a girl. Cassie Hitchcock slams Christie for... Okay, I don't want to hear about the Ebola woman. The Ebola nurse should have been quarantined against her will. Romney says GOP will put immigration bill on Obama's desk. We've played that. Remarks of President Barack Obama's weekly address, economy. I said that. Why am I... I'm like flipping pages in the same page. Somebody sent me pages 1 and 2 over and over again. Oh, here it is. Biden. GOP Senate won't change anything about Obama's agenda. Okay. Biden says the public is frightened because it's a frightening world. All right. He is Rand Paul. I can't tell Rand Paul. I don't know whether... If Rand Paul was on the ballot right now, he has no traction whatsoever. You could put Petit Mal on the ballot. You'd get as many people voting for him as Rand Paul. What do you mean Rand Paul? No one knows who he is. It's two first names, number one. He's too short, number two. He can't win. But he has good ideas. That's the problem. But in this world, ideas don't count. Petit Mal and Rand Paul. If I were to put on a, if I put on the ballot Petit Mal for president, he's liable to win, as opposed to Rand Paul. UK Islamist says, I want all women in Britain and America covered from head to toe. Oh, that's a good one. That's a hot one. Let's hear clip 14. That should get the women excited.
Ultimately, I want to see every single woman in this country covered from head to toe. I want to see the hand of the thief cut. I want to see adultery stoned to death. I want to see Sharia law in Europe. And I want to see it in America as well.
Now, here's the question for all of you good liberals out there. I, Michael Savage, am the only member of the American media banned from entering Britain, yet they let low-class, retrovert subhumans like this walk around freely in the UK. Ask yourself a question. How come nobody in the media has mentioned that I am the only member of the American media banned in Britain? How come none of these so-called conservatives, whether it's Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity, who's always there for you, how come they didn't mention that I was banned in Britain? How come Rush Limbaugh didn't mention Stop the Coming Civil War once, when he knows that this book was the most seminal publication to precede the election? Right on target, exactly what was on everyone's mind, exactly the repudiation of Obama as spelled out in 300 pages. What does that tell you about the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans? What does that tell you about talk show hosts who claim to be Republican or conservative or whatever, and yet out of spite, hatred, and jealousy, they act no differently than the worst Democrat? How does that feel to you? Now, I haven't talked about any other hosts for 6 months now, but I felt it was long overdue. It's that simple. 855, here we got someone who wants to propose on the show. I got time for this quick call. Joseph on WBAP in Dallas. Go ahead, Joseph.
Hey, Uncle Mike, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Hey, I have a young Savage Egg girlfriend, and not only would I love for you to officiate our wedding, I would love for her to make me the happiest and luckiest guy in the world and marry me this spring.
Now, where are you getting married, though? In Texas?
Somewhere in Texas, but let's do it away from Dallas, you know, with the recent medical scare and whatnot. I'm actually...
Oh, God. Now, here's my problem. I'm making this announcement in all seriousness. I did register. I'm registered as an official reverend now. I'm able to do weddings, but I don't know that I'm going to travel to do this. I'm not going to, like, run around with a tattered black costume. The problem is it's probably going to have to be within 30 miles of my San Francisco area. You know what I mean? So people are probably going to have to fly in. I'm going to have to get a chapel, meet them there, do the service. I don't think I'm going to be able to travel. That's the problem, Joseph.
And I
It's not that I can't travel, but I don't want to travel. I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind. You know what it is? I want to have positive impact on the world. I want to do something positive for people. I want to be involved in a positive event in life. I'm going to do weddings and funerals, by the way. I'm not going to do burials at sea in my boat because I sold my boat a year ago. And I had a friend who was in... No, that's kind of a weird statement, but I had a guy who was in the burials at sea thing, and he made a mistake once. The boat turned in the wind, and as he threw the ashes overboard, he had a wind coming from the stern. Yes, blew the ashes into his face and the face of all of those at the funeral. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N. 26 minutes after the hour. So we're a breath away from book banning, and then a breath away, two breaths away from book burning, because right now we have the equivalent of book blocking, in that I've told you there's been a concerted effort to bury my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, and it's very important you understand why this will affect you in your lifetime. One day it won't be my book, it's going to be somebody else's book, including those who are pretending that it's not going to affect them. Yahoo, if you circulate a picture of my book cover on a Yahoo server or email, it's going to be associated with a warning that this is objectionable material and the book cover will be blacked out. That includes my handsome face and my right hand. Now, do you realize how close we are to what the German poet Heinrich Heine wrote in 1834 about book burning? It was sent to me by the scholar Ellis Washington, professor of law and history. And he just sent this to me. And he said, Dr. Savage, here's the 1834 book burning quote by the German poet Heinrich Heine. I'm not very good at pronouncing German. I'll do my best, and I'll translate it. It's one line. Dort wo man Bücher verbrennt, verbrennt man am Ende ach Menschen. Where books are burned, they will in the end burn people too. And what's astonishing about it is that he wrote that in 1834, and about 105 years later, they were burning people and books. First they burned the books, and then they burned the people. In America, they first banned the person, me. Remember, I'm banned from entering England. Now my books are being banned in America, not only by those you would expect on the Democrat left, but on the phony right as well. Do you get it? All is jealousy. All is competition. All is business. Follow the money.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now the regular show is starting. I needed a 30-minute warm-up.
He'll come to
Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I'm so tired, got
you know, for a guy from New Orleans, he sounds like he's from New York. That's why I always like Fats Domino. He has the same accent that I had as a youth, and also the same accent that native San Franciscans had, mainly the Irish folks who lived out in the avenues. Everyone, I don't understand how it works. But here I am. I needed a 30-minute warm-up. Everything I did before, from the beginning of the show till now, was a warm-up job. Now the show sounds like I just started it, but I'm going to deal with the questions of, would you have me officiate at your wedding? How close is this to book banning? Is Romney trying to destroy the Republicans again? How do you feel about Yahoo listing my book cover as objectionable material, along with snuff films, beheading videos? Who runs Yahoo? It's got to be a lib outfit, right? I mean, Yahoo's got to be the same old, like the guys at the Schmoogle. Schmoogle basically is a division of the CIA, it looks like to me. I'm imagining. How do they get a NASA hangar, the guys at Google, for their private plane? Through Nancy Pelosi? No one ever asked that question. The guys own a 767. All right, they're entitled to it. They made a lot of money. But they don't pay for the hangar. They lease it from NASA at the NASA Ames Center. And how did they get that? How did they get that hangar? Through Nancy Pelosi? And by the way, you want to hear the irony? I think their plane was used to fly Pelosi's wedding party for her daughter's wedding. You didn't know any of this. You talk about an outrage. I mean, this is worse than Rome ever was. We have a combination under Barack Obama of corruption and perversion like you've never seen in your life. It's a combination of the Weimar Republic on steroids and Rome on Nero. Take some Nero, please. Who thought we'd see Brad? This is a great call coming up, by the way. Ed on line one. Ed, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Doctor. Thanks very much. Yeah, I just wanted to say to you and your listeners, whoever thought that in our lifetime, it means yours and mine contiguously, we would ever see most of the predictions of Orwell, Ray Bradbury, and people like Rod Serling, for that matter, actually come true and go beyond.
Because now, okay, you're talking about science fiction with regard to a hard edge of science fiction, what, where a fascistic government started doing the things that Obama's doing? Is that what you mean?
Well, we have people like Yahoo, as you point out, banning books and labeling books as being objectionable. They're purporting to be booksellers.
Yeah, well, okay, so you're saying Bradbury Fahrenheit 451, correct?
Oh, yeah, beautiful book. I love that.
Yes, unbelievable. So this is Fahrenheit Yahoo. I get it.
Yep.
Okay. They don't actually have to burn my book. All they have to do is smear the book by saying it's objectionable. Now, what about Orwell? Slavery is freedom. War is peace.
Yeah, the language issue, exactly.
And how was it that Barack Obama, the first part minority president, turned out to be a fascist at his heart? How did that happen?
And the language meister.
No, but why would it be that a minority, a person who's part minority, turn out to be the most draconian of any president in history? How did that work out?
It's happened before in history.
I understand. But wait, which president came as close to Obama as being this fascistic in orientation?
Oh, boy. Wilson for one, perhaps?
Abraham Lincoln for two. Franklin Delano Roosevelt for three.
Mr. Roosevelt, less so. Yeah, I believe less so.
Well, okay, but Lincoln was an absolute dictator during the Civil War. That we know. I mean, I documented very clearly in Stop the Coming Civil War. And the frightening part here is that Obama, people think that he's getting diselected tomorrow. They're all predicting a Republican victory, this and that, but that doesn't mean Obama leaves. If we lived in a sane parliamentary system, he would step down within a week because it's a repudiation of his dictatorial policies and his failed economic policies. But we're stuck with him for over two more years. That means he's going to run rampant over this country. He's going to crush our Constitution unless he is not impeached, because the Republicans already said they're not going to impeach him. They literally have to arrest the man. Now, you say, that's crazy. It can't be done. It has been done. A vice president was impeached for corruption. We've talked about it on the show. And this man, if he starts using the pen again in a little overly dramatic fashion, he can be arrested for violating his oath of office. Okay, that's as likely to happen as Mitt Romney is about to become a conservative. Columbus, Ohio. Kenzie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor.
Thank you, sir.
Next fall, my fiance and I are planning on getting married, and the dilemma we're having is choosing a minister or a priest to do ours. Now, she's Catholic, and I was raised Methodist. So that's where our dilemma is. I'm kind of curious if, obviously, like everybody else trying to call in, if you'd be interested in doing that. That way the dilemma is gone, and plus it'd be an honor.
Well, I certainly understand that people want a formal religious wedding, and you're saying that the formality of it is a problem for you because there are distinct differences between the Catholic and the Methodist views of marriage and the ceremony. Mine would not be religious per se, although it would have elements of the religious within the service. It would be more of a non-denominational service about the union between man and woman and the bond between a man and a woman.
That would be perfect. For one, I actually, about a year ago, I actually got her to start listening to you. She was a solid Democrat and liberal, and her entire view has completely changed, and I just told her that before I called, that I was going to try and, I guess...
Well, I'm going to do that. Look, here's what I'm going to do. I did get the certification over the weekend. I'm not making this up. I'm now officially a minister. It's very easy to do. I can perform weddings right now. I can perform funerals right now. But I'm not geared up for it yet, and I haven't yet perfected how it's going to work. It's got to be within the radius of 50 miles of San Francisco, because for me to start traveling is not going to work. I'll be all over the map, if you can understand. And I'm not looking to make any money on this. I don't want to really charge people for it. I want a donation made to a charity. I just want to do it for the service of doing it, and I want to do it to see the joy of people as I perform the service and give them that bond that I know will be with them for the rest of their lives. You understand where I'm coming from with this?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. Well, let's just keep this on the back burner of the Savage Nation. You get it? 855-407. This is a very good topic for me. I knew it would be good. I knew that this would be a lifetime fun thing for me. It's like, do I want to do politics the rest of my life? No. In fact, I'm going to make a prediction right now. After the election tomorrow, of course, Wednesday is going to be a banner day for discussing all the details. It's like, you know, a baseball game. How long do you want to discuss the election? Like for about a second after the election? But I warned you for the last 6 weeks that after I help push the Republicans over the finish line, which is what my book is going to be doing, don't underestimate the value of this book in turning the tide. I don't need Time magazine to publish a headline, Savage Changes the Course of Human Events. Let's say 200,000 people will have read this book before the election. That is two people per book or more. And let's say millions of people have heard me talk about it, and they've decided to not sit this election out, but to come out of the closet and vote, saying, I'll hold my nose, I'll vote Republican. So it's this book, along with others in talk radio, that are going to be the deciding factor in having turned the country around. But our job is just going to begin on Wednesday. When we see that Romney's already come out and said they're going to pass a form of amnesty, you know and I know what Mitch McConnell and whatever his name is, Clink, the Ice Cube, Boehner, the Clink. Notice Boehner's not been heard from. He's been as silent as Pelosi. They put them aside because they're both very, very damaging to their company's brand. They're going to have to be lobbied. We're going to have to lobby Boehner, McConnell. The others are going to have to be pushed very hard starting Wednesday. And there's no better way to do it than to force them to protect our borders, language, and culture. It's that simple. Okay? But I don't know that I'm going to spend the rest of this year between now and Christmas eating my heart out on the radio telling you what to do. You bought the book or you're going to buy the book. You have the information. You're going to have to do it as well as everyone else. You're going to have to go to your congressman and say, look, we didn't just give you a free pass here. You're going to have to do something, and you're going to have to defend our borders, language, and culture. It's all in this book. You're going to have to do it, not me. So I'm going to go on to other topics is what I'm saying to you. I have a tremendously versatile set of interests, as anyone who's listened to me for 20 years or 20 minutes knows. I'm not stuck on politics, and I'm not stuck on promoting Republicans. The thing is I'd just as soon talk about racing cars, jets, private jets, who has the best, what's the best jet, ships, boats, planes, trucks, dogs. The only topic I'm really not, food, cooking, wine. I could do wine. I have a great wine advertiser now, CH Wines. I mean, I got almost so many different things to talk about. And it's not that I have to be the expert on it. But I know enough about the topics that I'm interested in to lead a good discussion. And that's what I intend to do on this radio show. I'm not going to sit here and go day and night and day, every day, the same thing. I can't. I'm not going to do it. You think I'm going to do this for the next 2 months? Sit there like I really care about Republicans and Democrats? Oh, Republicans, good. Oh, Democrats, bad. Oh, here's the Constitution. Oh, wrap yourself in the Constitution. Article 1, citation number 33. How long can you listen to that? How many years and days and months can anyone take that until they turn the radio off and start listening to rap music? Not much longer. In fact, most of the people have left it, left the area because of that. They cannot take it. They sound like bad high school teachers. But here's the strangest part is that when conservatives get didactic on the issues of being a conservative, they sound worse than Democrats do. They sound like your civics teacher wearing a bad suit, like a brown suit that's stained with a tuna fish stain on the breast pocket. You know, that's what it sounds like to me. I hear people screaming about the flag and the Constitution. I think of a history teacher I had. He had a halitosis on him that was medicinal. It was a medical halitosis. He would lean over the desk, and you'd get hit with a green hal on him where you can get a blind migraine. There was no curing it. Have you ever known anyone with a hal like that? I had a history teacher like that, and maybe some biased against people who are so hysterical about politics. They always remind me of that guy, Mr. I can't mention his name. I hope he's still with us. But he had a habit, the brown suit, the tuna fish stain on the left lapel, and a hal on him. If he leaned over on the right, I still, to this day, I have a one-sided migraine from him. I traced it back in therapy, what caused it. It was him leaning over my right shoulder. And giving me, you know, a breath like you can't believe. There was another one. Did I ever tell you about One-Arm Frank? I did tell you the One-Arm Frank story. That's the follow-up to teacher with halitosis. It reminds me of a certain individuals that I detest in radio. They sound like they have halitosis of the cerebrum. But this guy, One-Arm Frank, is a very important story. And it was covered in one of my earlier radio stories. I don't know. I think I wrote about it. I'm sure I wrote about One-Arm Frank in psychological nudity, yes, and train tracks. Train tracks, it's in train tracks. So I have a minute or two to tell you about One-Armed Frank, and then we'll take the calls on the Savage. Do you want to hear, raise your hands if you want me to go off politics and talk about One-Armed Frank. Robert says yes. Neil didn't even ask hear the question. We had a guy in my father's market. Everything goes back to childhood, and his name was One-Armed Frank. Now, the reason we called him One-Armed Frank is because in those days, he had one arm, But he didn't have a full, so they didn't, either they didn't have them as well made, or they didn't hide it. He had, in those days, they would pin the sleeve, the poor guy, into his coat pocket. So he had one arm, that's all. They didn't ridicule him. Don't get me wrong. I didn't know mean men. They didn't call him one-arm Frank and laugh at him like children. They identified, like in a Damon Runyon play, oh, there's one-arm Frank. How you doing, Frank? They didn't say, hey, one-arm Frank. But he was identified as one-arm Frank. There was Fat George, for example. Everyone was identified easily in a pictographic form. You have to understand, I come from a different world than you. It was a non-PC world of the type that doesn't exist anymore, where everything was real. Everything was in living color. It wasn't a black and white bland world where you're like on medication. We live in a world where everybody walks around like in a state of fog and medication, afraid to say anything, do anything, feel anything. And they have to take drugs. They have to have all sorts of things done to their bodies to feel anything. These guys were very much alive. They were all immigrants. So there was one-arm Frank. There was Fat George. There was Charlie. I can't use his last name because it's a family show. He was the one obsessed with women, but I can't use his last name. But it was sort of like a mini nun criminal, let us say, Goodfellas or Sopranos. If you look at those movies, Goodfellas or Casino, I must say Goodfellas, they all had identities, and they were identified by a certain, let's say, quirk, right? Ponytail John, Golf Club Harry, whatever it was, right? They were identified. Mustang Sal, you remember, like names like that. So there was one on Frank, Fat George, and that's how people identified each other. So the minute I come back, I'll tell you about one-arm Frank and his medicinal halitosis right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. So we're, you know, everyone in those days has had a name, one-armed Frank, Fat George, whatever. So one-armed Frank, I have to finish the story. And the guy, I'm not ridiculing him. He had the arms sewn up in a suit. No one hid reality in those days. And that's the story. But in those days, if you're missing an arm, that's what you were named. Whatever your anomaly was, that was your name. It made it easier for the average person to remember everybody. So one-armed Frank was a very sweet guy. But he had sick breath. Now, I want to tell you that there are bad breaths, then there are very bad breaths, and then there are medical problems. This one had to be solved with a medicine that has not yet been invented. I remember one winter, my old man was dropping Frank off at his home, and I used to dread it. When I'd hear we're leaving my father's market on Ludlow Street, and he said, yeah, we're going to drop Frank off from Williamsburg. I said, oh, my God. I didn't know where to sit. I'd sit up front. It would be 5 degrees out. I'd have the window open with mufflers on because I knew it was... He could sit in the back of that car, and you'd get home, you'd have to hit the toilet right away and puke. Frank's in the back of the car. It's minus 4 degrees out that January. We had to ride with all the windows open, right? It was so bad. And when you didn't want him to speak, so you didn't address him. The minute he spoke, the car filled with noxious fumes. So I'd say, Dad, are we passing the Trons Meat Factory? I mean, what are they, killing hogs right now? He says, no, we're not yet in Williamsburg. Did we run over a small furry creature on the Lower East Side that got caught up in a muffler? And the smell is shooting up through the floorboard. Did I step on? And, I mean, you'd pull over off a bridge and, like, take your shoe off and look at... So you'd look at your shoes. No, it was Frank talking in the back seat. Now, there are other stories. There's Louie and his crazed monkey. Look at these stories I haven't even told you about. The electric blue saddle stitched pants. Symphony Sid story. The IRA high school geometry teacher with two fingers in his right hand. How about my happy and sad cufflinks, which I had? There's like 100. Tippy the dog was thrown into a garbage truck.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It's another manic Monday.
Manic Monday on The Savage Nation. been a week since I played it. Can you believe it? A week goes by like a blink. All right, here we are. Another Manic Monday on the Savage Nation. Tomorrow is the big day, the bitter, bitter day. Headlines, the bitter end. McConnell surging in polls as Grimes fires off final volley of campaign charges. So that's Kentucky, and it looks like Senator Mitch McConnell, who I affectionately call the Gobbler, because of the gullet and the way he resembles a turkey, McConnell is surging ahead for a possible sixth term, which will make him majority leader should Republicans capture the Senate. I'm not talking about that. Here's another story to show you our great commander-in-chief at work. You thought he was playing golf. Well, he may as well have been playing golf because the ISIS militants have forced the retreat of the U.S.-backed Syrians. Huge setback, I am sorry to report. The most violent throwback since Hitler have just beaten back the U.S.-backed rebels, overrun by Al-Qaeda-tied fighters. They're calling them fighters now. Al-Qaeda-tied fighters overran Western-backed Syrian rebels in key strongholds over the weekend. Now, I don't know why we're not using our Air Force to its full possibilities, other than the fact that we have a weak-willed president who never wanted to use the Air Force at all, or that there's no one left who even knows how to run the Air Force. They replaced them with people who can vaguely even fly an airplane. Dogfights between Congress and Air Force could delay the F-35 program. The Gobbler McConnell pulls ahead in Kentucky race. Wisconsin mail carrier probed after allegedly dumping Republican political mailers. What would GOP do with Senate majority? Immigration, Keystone, and more at stake. It's very interesting stuff, but how much can I talk about it? Is that interesting to you to go through? It's like baseball scores to me. Even when I was a kid and I watched baseball, I was not that interested in people's batting averages. This is starting to remind me of talking about batting averages. So, I mean, my questions from the last hour I hang is this. Is Romney trying to destroy the Republicans again? How close is this to book banning with Yahoo listing my book cover as objectionable material? I think we should start now with old Mitt Romney coming out of the dugout to undermine the Republican Party once again. Let's play it for the listeners.
You're going to see a provision, first of all, to secure the border. Second of all, to deal with those who've come here illegally. And third, to make sure that our immigration policies are more open and transparent to the many people who do want to come here illegally.
Bingo.
That's going to happen.
Whoa. That's the giveaway. A slip o' the tongue. He said he wants to make sure that our immigration policies are more open and transparent to those individuals who want to come here illegally. Bingo. And he said, well, that was a mistake. No, it wasn't. Mitt Romney's a very bright man. I had dinner with him. Very few people can say that. I mean, I personally like the man. I think he's a fine man. And it was years ago, long before he even ran for the last election. How long ago was that? I don't even know. I was up in North Beach in a restaurant that I no longer go to because once Lorenzo died, I never went in there again. I mean, it's become like an Italian McDonald's now. I don't want to be there. Don't go looking for me in those restaurants. I'm not there anymore. It's like an Italian McDonald's, you know what I mean? You want the tiramisu. Michael's not there. Even if they say he's there, he's coming in. He was here. He was just here. He was there a minute ago. He has his book. I'm not there anymore. I do not go there. It's an Italian McDonald's. Once my friend Lorenzo went, I don't go in there anymore. That's all. So, I mean, I'm not there. You know, but he's a nice guy. I had dinner with him. I don't mean Lorenzo died. I'm talking about Mitt. Very nice man. I was shocked that he showed up without a bodyguard. That was one. And he's just exactly what he looks like in person. Looks like what? In person, he's exactly what he looks like publicly. Tall, thin, distinguished guy. And one of the first things he said to me was, how's the veal in this restaurant? I said, it's the best in the city. Try it. It was as close to that, I swear to God, as you could ever imagine. Like, how's the veal in this restaurant? It's the best in the city. Try it. But then we got down to politics, and I brought up immigration. He said, well, you know, that's a tough one because of the Hispanic vote. There we go again. The all-important Hispanic vote, as though no one else exists. I am so tired of hearing about the Hispanic vote. I'd like to hear someone talk about the American vote, the Republican vote, the conservative vote. I am so sick and tired about hearing about illegal aliens voting. I'm sick of it. But there's no difference in the parties. They're both pandering to them. You know, you need a driver's license to do so many things in this country. You need ID to do anything, but you don't need ID to vote. How is that possible? We are one of the only nations on earth that does not require voter ID, and you know why? You can thank the Democrats for that because they want illegals to vote as many times as possible, as they've done in the previous elections. Also, in the first hour, I announced that I'm now thinking about performing wedding ceremonies for listeners beginning in January. And I said that I become ordained. I am. I'm now. I can do a wedding right now. If you were in my house, or God forbid, a funeral, I could take it, bury you at sea. But I'm not going to do it yet. I'm thinking about it. I'm asking you how you feel about that. I'm not doing it for money. I'm not doing it for a fake church. I'm not going to raise money. You're not going to see me on a mega church with, you know, Dr. Savage with the this and the that. I'm not looking for that. The saffron robes, you know, with the acolytes, 50 women. I'm not doing that. That guy, Mustafa, from Oregon. Remember that guy in Oregon? Maharashi. What was his name? Maharashi? With the purple clothing? Maharashi Ashram? The guy with the 30 Rolls Royces? I would rather be struck dead by God than become a religious shyster. Never. They're lower than the politician shysters. Least you expect it from a politician. But for a religious person to raise money on a spiritual thing or on God is about as low as you can get. That's like taking money from a crippled person or a child. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to do it. The reason is altruistic. I know it's hard to believe in a cynical world. If I do decide to go ahead, I do have the certificate. I'm getting the whole thing, the kit. The kit's coming. I'm going to perform weddings because I want to be around happy people. Is there anything happier than a wedding? No, unless it's a forced wedding in Pakistan. It's usually a very happy occasion. I mean, if it's a 9-year-old girl and a 60-year-old man, all right, there's another story. I will not go to I'm not going to go to Pakistan to perform that kind of wedding. I'm not marrying 60-year-old men with 9-year-old girls. It's the one kind of wedding I'm not going to do. But the thing is, it's a happy occasion. People are happy. The families put down their anger for the moment. Everyone has a drink, and that's all. And they all want Dr. Savage's name on the certificate. Think about that. Just think 100 years from now, if we still have a nation and a country and the meteor hasn't hit, and that we've been told every second from National Geographic, the meteor is going to hit and wipe out Lake Berryessa. It's going to disappear. The entire continent is going to disappear with a flash. The electrical grid is going to go. You know, every minute, there's scare tactics. Every second, a comet's flying overhead, and any second, Obama's going to bring it down upon the earth to not only knock out the electrical grid, but to destroy the entire continent. Let's assume that doesn't happen. 100 years from now, it's like Antiques Roadshow is still going. The different people, I would hope, but and it's going. Say, well, we found this in my grandfather's attic. It's a wedding certificate. And if you look carefully, the signature is that of a very famous author and radio host from the early 2000s. I said, really? Who? Michael Savage. Wow, so you got the original signature. No kidding. Yep. Well, that's worth about 9 cents in modern, 9 million pesos is what it'll be worth. You go to like Uruguay or Colombia, it's like 20 million pesos to buy a chocolate bar. That could happen to you with the economy today, with the currency. Why, they can't make it into old dollars and new dollars? I remember when I first went to France when I was a young kid, they gave me a change in the NF, new franc. And like, I think the guy gave me like, I was as poor as a church mouse. I had almost nothing. I don't know what I bought, some cigarettes or something, or a steak dinner. I don't know what. I had nothing left. And they gave me change with a new franc. And I had old francs. It was like 20,000 NFs. I thought I was rich. Well, I wasn't rich. But the point was, why were they reconfiguring currency in France in those days? Why were they making $10 now became worth $1? So they had to take a $1 bill and turn it into 10 new dollars. And they print new currency, 10 NDs. Or worse yet, 100 NDs. It would become like North Korea. Why, it can't happen here? Under this character from Chicago, who's printing money like it's just hay or paper? What do you mean it can't happen? It probably has already happened here. If you look at the price of certain fundamentals, you'll see it has happened here already. In fact, I put this together for you. Where is it? Here. I got it for you right here. I did a fiscal chapter and Stop the Coming Civil War. I'm going to read you a few of the paragraphs from it to see what he's done. And I want to find the one that's relevant to right now. Here, page 114. Food and energy prices are rising dramatically while wages remain stagnant. While Obama tries to push climate change as the most critical danger to the United States. Americans can't find jobs, page 114. The increase in the number of today's billionaires is, as I've explained, the result of the rise of an economic oligarchy, which creates debt by printing money in order to give that money to the banks, so the banks can buy the bonds that the government prints, page 105. More than 90 million Americans have given up looking for jobs. That's the lowest labor participation rate in 30 years, page 99. Robot trading has changed the way the stock market works. It's driven out normal people interested in developing a stock portfolio out of the market, page 97. Artificially low interest rates have cost Americans $9 trillion in interest that they should have received on the money in their savings accounts. Instead of the interest going to Americans who responsibly save their money, it was transferred to mega banks so they could gamble it away on risky investments, page 91. It's all in Stop the Coming Civil War. Finally, look at this one, page 105. While the president complains that the 1% control too much of the wealth of this nation, his policies and those of the Fed are enabling the 1% to radically increase their wealth. They're doing this at the expense of the middle class, page 105. So I have a great fiscal chapter in there, and that's just the beginning of it. It's very important for you to read it so you know what you're talking about. Let's take some quick calls. Charleston, WTMA Radio. Rick, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I went to Barnes & Noble. I purchased a hard copy of your book. I purchased the audio copy of your book. I started reading the hardcover. I wasn't making progress fast enough. I got in my car, put in the audio version, and literally could not stop the car. I was compelled to keep listening. I hear you promoting all the time the book. But what I've discovered about myself and a lot of other people is, particularly young people, they don't read books anymore, but they're so tuned into CDs and DVDs. I went back to Barnes & Noble. I bought another book. I bought another audio series, and I'm committed to giving away the audio series and the books. I got all I need, and I want to challenge your audience to buy multiple copies and look before you buy whether it should be the hardcover version versus the audio, because it is absolutely so compelling. I feel obligated to spend my money to buy it, to give it away under one condition. And the condition is that they promise after they read the book or listen to the audio series that they will pass it on to someone else. I have been listening to talk show hosts for many, many years. The sound bites that come on, you have such an absolute, compelling compilation of facts, opinions, and documented facts that it's just like, initially I thought, well, gee, this is going to be about bashing Obama like you're the prosecutor. And I said, no, you are not the prosecutor. You are the defender, and you're defending America. And one thing I've learned in life is what you have in life does not make you happy. But what you can do for another person and what you can give away brings great joy, happiness, and satisfaction. And I am so happy to invest my money to give this book and audio series away. And again, I challenge the people that are listening right here, right now, across America. What is it that you can do to help your country? Buy multiple copies of the book, buy multiple copies of the audio series, and give it away to other people.
Now, Rick, I want you to tell the people that you and I never met. This is not a prompted message. It came out of the blue. I never heard from you, but it sounded like an infomercial, because I'm so blown away by what you just said about my book, because I couldn't have said it any better. But truthfully, I put my heart and soul into Stop the Coming Civil War. I was appalled at the media blackout. I was most particularly appalled at my fellow, quote, conservatives who refused to mention my name, including those on Fox News. I will never forgive them for being so vicious in their ignorance and their bitter jealousy. But I want to thank you for what you just said. And it brings me right back to what I'm going to say now, which is exactly why I announced today that I decided over the weekend about my post-radio career, or even while I'm still in radio, I'm going to do weddings as a minister, because I want to give something to people for nothing. I decided to give, because you can't get anything by taking. You can only get something by giving. And I want to thank you for your wonderful, kind message just now. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
You're listening to The Savage Nation with Michael Savage. Coming up at 3, it's Mark Levin on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
That's the big news. Let's be clear about that. Everything is going to change tomorrow. And we're talking about the banning of certain publications, including my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, which, despite the blacklisting by Fox News, which is astonishing, incidentally, I have a friend who's the top of the pyramid in the media. He said in his entire life, he has never seen people act as vindictive as they are today towards Michael Savage. And he said, I would have expected someone on the network. I said, who, Martha Washington, you'd expect to get off her high horse with the fake hair? We know O'Reilly hates me. You don't expect Wallbanger to take me on. I'm his number one competitor on radio. But you'd think Blondie, Martha Washington there would be the one. But no, somehow she was controlled by Roger Ailes as well, I suspect. And that's their right. I have a right to choose guests. They have a right to choose guests. So don't look to a network to represent you. Don't look to a talk show to represent you. Ultimately, you have to decide what represents you, and it may be a bunch of mixed messages for all I know. That's all. Someone just called and said, is the book good for them to read to their child? They're not very political. Look at the chapter titles of Stop the Coming Civil War. The War on Our Borders, Language, and Culture. The War on the U.S. Military. The War on American Medicine. The War on Civil Rights. The War on Science. The War on Our Schools. The War on Our Allies. It's something even a high school student can understand if they read it. God, if you're going to vote tomorrow, look at the headlines.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
On Thursday, we learned that over the past 6 months, our economy has grown at its fastest pace since 2003. But the gains of a growing economy aren't yet felt by everyone. So we've got to harness this momentum and make the right choices so that everyone who works hard can get ahead.
There's more people on food stamps than ever in history. That they won't tell you about. I mean, that's a huge story. That's one of the biggest subtexts of this entire election. And it's being buried by the networks. I saw it this morning on MRC.org. I don't know what MRC is, but it says the American food stamps program has experienced unprecedented and unsustainable growth under Obama, according to experts. But the broadcast news media have virtually ignored this bad news for this election year. The three broadcast networks would rather not remind voters that a record number of Americans received food stamps under the Obama presidency, or that more than 46 million Americans have been on food stamps for 35 straight months. While Obama has said that every single one of his policies is on the ballot this fall, the media have worked hard to protect him from bad news, especially if there can be any connection. When it came to food stamps, the networks deflected concerns away from the Obama administration's failed economic policies, according to Tad DeHaven of libertarian think tank Cato Institute. DeHaven did not blame Obama solely for the problem. He was frank about the role of Republicans in expanding the food stamp program in 2002, but also explained the program was supercharged by an 2008 bill in the Pelosi Congress and again by Obama's stimulus bill and has been exacerbated by the sluggish economy. Why hasn't Army's report on Bo Bergdahl been released? No news until after the election tomorrow. Washington Times. The Army has completed its investigation of the circumstances surrounding the suspected desertion of Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, but no one expects to see the results before Tuesday's elections. The last thing the Obama administration wants now is a round of attention to the sordid details of another public relations disaster. The Army will not release the report, even though it was completed weeks ago. The Government Accountability Office, listen to this now, has already determined that the prisoner swap was illegal. Now there's the possibility that General Dahl concluded that Sergeant Bergdahl should be court-martialed, and this would further shine a bright light on President O's incompetence and the ineptitude of his administration. Remember, he released 4 or 5 of the most extreme Taliban in exchange for him, and these battle-hardened terrorists went back to the battlefield? Well, Other Guantanamo detainees released into the wild wasted little time getting back into their terrorist ways. As many as 30 former Guantanamo prisoners are thought to be fighting under the black flag of ISIS, according to this report. And so they're blocking it again in order to keep you in the dark out there. So those are two topics, the Bergdahl swap and the food stamps crisis that we are talking about on The Savage Nation. Now, Ebola has not gone away. In fact, because of the ineptitude and the stupidity of the CDC, the National Institutes for Health, but most importantly, the Commander-in-Chief, there will be many, many more cases when there shouldn't have been even one case of Ebola in the United States of America. There's nothing that more typifies the weakness of this administration and the foolishness of the legal system than clip number 3 of this narcissistic nurse up in Maine who refuses to self-quarantine in an effective manner. Let's listen to 3.
When Governor Christie stated that it was an abundance of caution, which is his reasoning for putting healthcare workers in sort of quarantine for 3 weeks, it was really an abundance of politics. And I think all of the scientific and medical and public health community agrees with me on that statement.
No, we don't. No, we don't all agree with you on anything. You are a selfish lout. And if it was a sane society, nobody would be listening to you. You'd be in quarantine because you're putting yourself and all your neighbors at a possible risk. And if you want to err on the side of caution, Nursey Hickok, what you do is you wouldn't be grandstanding looking to write a book about how you defied common sense and how you defied medical sense. And you said you did it simply for what reason? Because you know more than everybody else? Listen to clip 4 now.
We know a lot about Ebola. We have been researching this disease for 38 years since its first appearance in Africa.
We know how the
infection is transmitted from person to person, and we know that it's not transmitted from someone who is asymptomatic, as I am and many other aid workers will be when they return.
Okay, so she's telling you what Obama has been telling you, which is definitively not 100% true. We do not know how the infection is transmitted, by the way. And let me ask a question of those of you in the medical field out there. The nurse says we know as though she's been doing the research herself, which is patently absurd. She's only a nurse. She's not even a scientist. But the fact of the matter is, she says we know how the infection is transmitted from person to person, and we know that it's not transmitted from someone who is asymptomatic, as I am. If that is true, then how did that selfish doctor from Doctors Without Borders contract Ebola? After all, he wore all of the proper protective apparatus. He was certain that he didn't contract the disease when he came back to New York and rode the subway, went bowling, and dined in a restaurant. He was sure he was not going to transmit it because he was asymptomatic, and yet he contracted the disease himself. So how did he get it if he was so careful, Nursey? No, my friends, this is very, very serious business when you have a narcissistic individual like this nurse playing with people's lives simply for a little self-gain, in my opinion. And if we had a sane nation, it would not be up to the individual to decide when they should and when they shouldn't be quarantined. And that's all I have to say at this time. 855-407-2828 is the phone number. Larry in New Mexico on KKOB Radio, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I'm very upset that they have banned your book. I'd like to know where in New Mexico I can get your book because I want it.
Well, you have to try to get it at Barnes & Noble, but I've been getting reports across America that the book is either, they say it's sold out or it's on order or it's not there. I don't know. Try a Barnes & Noble. Try any other bookstore. Books a Million. I keep hearing some of the big chains won't carry the book. So, Larry, I'm sending you a free copy. It won't arrive in time for the election. And that's really all I care about right now, is I'd like you to be able to talk to someone tonight who still is undecided about how to vote. If they see the crimes and misdemeanors that have been committed by this corrupt administration that is spelled out in my book, I will sleep a happy man tonight, I can guarantee you, and thanks for calling. ABC, Robert, thanks for calling from New York City. What's on your mind?
Hi, how you doing? You know, I just wanted to say you guys have a great show, and I'm just tired of this country walking backwards. For 6 years, we've done nothing but show the world how we walk backwards, and it's disgusting.
Well, that's what Obama wants. Obama's embarrassed to be an American, isn't he? Didn't he say he's embarrassed and he wants to transform America? The question no one seems to have ever asked the great man is, what do you want to transform it into? What is your model, Mr. Obama? What exactly do you have in mind? What is the nation that's better than us and that you want us to become? How come no one's asked him that question?
Yeah, exactly. And I work with a liberal, and I tried to talk to him today and explain this to him. And he got so mad, he started sweating. He got so upset. All I said, it really is an illness. You're right. It's an illness. They're sick.
Well, here's what you have to do. Look, liberalism is a mental disorder, but you can still reach mentally disordered people. Some of them are reachable. If you were to sit down and say to him, look, let's talk about tomorrow's vote. What do you care about most in this country? Is it the borders? Is it our language? Is it our culture? Is it the way our schools are being run? Is it our medical system, civil rights? After all, Obama has violated our civil rights like no president in American history. You know that, don't you? And even liberals should care about that, don't you think, Robert?
I think he hates everything. I even think he hates the people he says he likes, like unions.
I'm saying is, if you talk to the individual, like that man at work, and you say to him, let's talk about any one of those topics, but just give me 5 minutes. And then you say, okay, you're a liberal, I'm a conservative. Let's look at the civil rights issue in America under Obama. So what is the issue here? If you turn to page 149 of my book, you'll get the answers you need, and they're irrefutable. What this man has done to us. Even the ACLU was appalled by what Obama did with the spying, the NSA spying, which everybody seems to have forgotten. The man has gone beyond the ken on almost every issue. What is benevolent about this president? Virtually nothing. Has the man not tried to stir up racial enmity in Ferguson, Missouri, by sending down his attorney general and saying that police were wrong before an investigation was even conducted? And what? A liberal's going to argue with you on that? So if you give them the facts and they still don't agree with you, then you've gone as far as you can. But you need the ammunition. You can't just do it on your own. You need to have it in your hand, like a Bible, like a war plan, and I suggest you go and get it and take a look at it tonight, and thanks for calling. Look, I don't want to keep talking about my book. The election is tomorrow. The rest is going to be up to you. I've done my job. It's a New York Times bestseller now for 3 weeks in a row, despite the blacklisting, despite the fact that Rush Limbaugh and the others refused to mention it because they're jealous and threatened by me. There's no other answer for it, by the way. I'm just not in their little cabal. And if you think that that's not true, I got another guest coming for you. There are cliques in talk radio that are identical to those found in any political system, but most particularly they approximate that of little sorority groups at high school. I don't happen to be a member of any sorority or any fraternity. I'm an independent thinker and an independent mind, and for that reason, I have not been forgiven by the establishmentarians of the type that I've been talking about. And Fox News, whether you want to accept it or not, and they do a darn good job in most cases, considering what the alternatives are, is no different than CBS, ABC, or NBC in their desire to be part of the pack and their desire to excommunicate anyone who does not play ball with Roger Ailes or Rupert Murdoch. Is that simple? I don't want to talk about them. That's the point. What do I need to talk about them for? I have my own show. This is my own world. I wish all of them good luck. But I think in today's discussion of a book like mine, which has gone 3 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, despite the blackout, it's important that you understand that there are biases inherent in all human beings, including myself. It's that simple. Don't assume anyone is an angel here. What would you like to talk about? The nurse? Or the media? Or the election? Or Ebola? Or what are the Republicans going to do if they win? Bergdahl, the food stamps crisis? Any topic that you wish to discuss, we will discuss on The Savage Nation. All you got to do is dial 855-400-7282. And if you're lucky enough to pass the screener, you will be heard by more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. What kind of music am I going to play at the weddings? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Am I going to show up with a band? You know, I mean, really, I'm thinking about it. I want to do something that no one's ever done. I was thinking of incorporating traditions of various cultures and civilizations in the wedding ceremonies that I may do. I'm being very serious. It's going to be something no one's ever done before. I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but I was reading that in Hindu weddings, I doubt that I'll be doing many Hindu weddings, they have a fire pit around which the bride and groom walk in order to demonstrate that the fire unites the two people. Of course, it's the fire of life. We all know that. It's the passion between people that unites them to begin with. And I think that's a tremendous symbolism. I don't think it would go very well at a Catholic wedding to bring a fire pit into a Catholic church. Robert, I don't know your religion, Robert, but would you go for a fire pit if you were getting married? Why not? He says, why not? He's a young guy. That's a nice ceremony, the idea of a fire pit. But I don't know exactly. I'll put something together. I can guarantee you it'll be memorable. And I'm gonna have the best time of my life. It's going to be like what I've been waiting to do my whole life. I have a party to go to every week somewhere in America. Well, again, I'm not traveling for it yet. It's still although I'm ordained now officially, I'm going to perform weddings. It's going to be selective. It's not going to be a business. I'm not looking to make money. I'm not going to be selling you catheters, like special catheters or anything like that. You're not going to get audio. Oh, I could do weddings by Skype? I don't want a hologram wedding. I want to actually be there. I want to go to the wedding. I want to marry the people. I want to see them kiss. I want to see them pass the rings back and forth. I want to see the parents crying. I like to see the woman 9 months pregnant. I mean, it's something that I want. I want to see the grandpa with the shotgun in the back with the moonshine. I'm trying to reinvent myself for a later part in my life. Don't you understand that do you realize something? If you're listening to the show for years, you've listened to me, you've gotten like into this, my head, you know what I'm like. You got to think of me somewhat as a cafe owner in some regards, as well as a talk show. I used to call this Cafe Savage, and I'd have the sound of glasses and cappuccino machines. And I would say to you, try to think of me as a guy who runs a cafe and you've come in to hang out for the afternoon while you're listening to me. We're going to talk about politics and everything else. And that made it more palatable. You understand? So if you really get into my head, you got to understand I'm a very unique personality. And I do things in my own way. What is that weird sound? That's supposed to be cappuccino in the back? Cafe music? It sounds like a bad train. But I'm going to do it. I registered over the weekend. I'm actually registered to do weddings. You know that I can marry someone right now in this county? I found out I can do it right now. But I'm not equipped for it. I haven't put together a service. I haven't decided how to do it, where to do it, when to do it. Once I'm ready, next year in 2015, God willing, I will have moved into the next phase of my life for the rest of my life. What I was going to say to you is this. I never thought I'd live this long. I always thought I don't know, 40s, maybe 50s. I had no idea I would live even to this age. I come from, unfortunately, very early deaths from heart attacks. So I always thought, you know, whatever. I was very worried about when my children were young. I didn't want to leave them without a father and all of that. It always plagued me. I've been running with a gun to my head since I'm a kid. It's always been like a Black Friday to me. Every day is like a gun to my head. Now I wake up, and it's like, oh, God's given me these years. Well, what am I supposed to do with them? Okay, I love radio. But there's other things in life. I'm a great author. I've written almost 30 books. I have a few you've never seen. But I want to marry people. And I want to bury people. I want to connect up with life. It's that simple. Is it wrong? I ask you, is it wrong of me to want to do that? It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
New Monday.
the Savage Nation. You know, I've been reading comments that people are writing on some of the articles about yours truly on WorldNet Daily, and he wrote an article about the book ignored by the media, buried in the stores, and the things people are saying are amazing. One of them you have to hear is, why stop the coming civil war? Someone wrote that, why stop the coming civil war? And that's a frightening comment, but it's not the first time, you know, that I've heard this. Someone wrote that it's a great thing, that we should have a cleansing of this republic, and we'll get rid of the traitors. And then someone said, wait a minute. It said, sentiments about a civil war are scary. He says, believe me, buddy, I'd love to clean the house as much as you would. But that comes at a price. Famine, looting, raping, killing, lawlessness, and a breakdown of the rule of law. A civil war would mean a decade of misery. He says, I fear it may be our only option, but this despotic leftist cronyism cannot continue much longer. People are reaching the tipping point where anger turns to action, where vilification turns to violence. God help us all. So people are talking about it. And I pray to God that people understand that the key word in my book is stop. I didn't say start the coming civil war. Now, the truth is that one of my strong cards is bluntness. It's also one of my weak cards. Being diplomatic is not one of my strengths. I'm not proud of it. It's just the way I'm wired. I wired myself to be like this. It's how I am. I have no way around it. I hold nothing back, almost nothing back. You want to deal with one of the fake establishment conservatives, I don't have to name them. Just look at their track record. And they may say they're strong Tea Party supporters, yet they're friends with Karl Rove, a strong enemy of the Tea Party. I mean, do I have to mention who that is? I don't have to tell you who it is. You know, the fact of the matter is, we're at a very strange point in American history. And yes, the Republicans are likely to win by all indicators tomorrow. And then what? Then what? We're going to have Marxist Republicans after Marxist Democrats? I mean, I played Romney for you. And the slip of the tongue, to me, is quite transparent. Listen to clip 7 again, and you'll hear what he has to say. Pay attention to the first sentence very carefully, Mitt Romney.
You're going
to
see a provision, first of all, to secure the border. Second of all, to deal with those who've come here illegally. And third, to make sure that our immigration policies are more open and transparent to the many people who do want to come here illegally. That's going to happen.
To make sure our immigration policies are open and transparent to many people who do want to come here illegally. That's going to happen. Okay, so either he said this by accident, or he said it to undermine the Republican Party once again, or they really mean it. Right? And somebody wrote this. They said, Savage is a wealthy man. He's worked all of his life. He does not really have to do what he does. He doesn't have to take these risks and kill himself like this. At his age, Savage could just sit on his boat and watch the world pass by with a nice bottle of wine. I give Savage a lot of credit for trying to get across to the people, especially his phrase, if you like your Ebola, you can keep your Ebola. And then he says, I look at the world differently than Michael Savage. He says, I think that the people of this country will have to descend into the deepest darkness before they get the true picture about the evils of socialism and communism. The Demon rats are pure evil, trying to give the 47% the golden calf to dance around. And how this all ends is anyone's guess. If you are a student of history, you know deep down that it will not end well. And all of us fear that about Obama. We all fear that this is a Potemkin election coming up. That's a reference, of course, to the Soviet era. And those of you who know what I'm saying know what I'm saying. It's a Potemkin election. That the powers that be that put this fraud in power are not going to stop in their desire to destroy, to squash this nation like a pancake. To continue their march on our borders, our language, and our culture. To crush our democracy itself, even the semblances of freedom that we have, will be gone in 2 more years. Many people fear that, even if the Republicans win. So my answer to them is, first, let's change the direction in the House, meaning put in new leadership. Get rid of Harry Reid, get rid of Nancy Pelosi, put in some new leadership, and then we're going to have to lobby McConnell and the others. I know what a job it's going to be. It's going to be an uphill battle. And I suspect that others will be doing it other than myself. There's a lot of people out there who know what's needing to be done, and they have all the power to do it. They can confront McConnell. They can confront all of them at town hall meetings, wherever they have to. They can use all the tactics of the left on the Republicans to force them to move off the dime and to do the right thing to defend our nation's borders, language, and culture while it can still be defended. But that's not a job for a single man. It's not a job for a single individual. It's a job for a nation to do. I am the architect of this change. In the many books I have written over the years, in the many broadcasts I have done over the years, I'm not sounding like I'm making an announcement like I'm quitting radio after tomorrow and I'm going to just do weddings and, you know, sit on the back of my boat and drink Chardonnay. I'm not saying that. I mean, I'll be here for a while. And I'm saying a lot of you have to do the job. You have to pick up the baton and run with it. You have to run with it. You have to make the Republicans do the job they're going to be elected to do. Don't expect us or me to do it. Forget about the others. Let them do their own job. You can't expect me to do it. Yeah, you have to do it. You have to hold Mitch McConnell accountable. You have to hold John Boehner accountable. You have to hold them accountable to our principles. And you say, well, what are our, what do you really believe in, Mike? Come on. What are you really bellyaching about? You know, you got it pretty good. The country's in pretty good shape. Many people have that attitude. And you could look at it that way. You could say the glass is half full, not the glass is half empty. You could say that. And it depends upon, you know, where you are in life and how long you've worked and what you've put away and what you've saved and what your health is and how lucky you've been with your family or how unlucky you've been with the family. So it's an individual answer here. I can't speak for the nation. I cannot. And frankly, I would think it would be kind of, I don't want to use the word disingenuous, but there's something in me that revolts against talk show hosts who are multi-billionaire millionaires with their own private jets, making believe that they're the average Joe drinking a beer and going to a barbecue. Meanwhile, on the weekend, they're flying on their G3s, G4s to give another lecture for $200,000. Oh, yeah, I'm just like you, Joe Sixpack with the pickup truck. I'm struggling. Yeah, I'm just like you, Joe. Here, sign this book, This Way to the Egress. I mean, it's like P.T. Barnum, for God's sakes. What do you think, people can't see through this? So it's not for me to pretend that I'm broke and I'm poor and I'm down and out. I'm not. I lead a rather quiet life. I lead a humble. I don't spend a lot of money myself. I really don't spend a lot of money. I don't. I have no jewelry. You look at me, I have some fancy cars, which I like. I'm a car nut. I don't even have a boat anymore. I sold my boat. They think I'm going to sit on the back of my boat and drink wine. First of all, I don't have a boat. I have a 22-foot boat. That's all I have. It's all I want. The maintenance was too much for me. I couldn't take it. No matter who you hired in the Bay Area to do it, they had arrogance and they were crooks. Couldn't get anyone to manage them, no matter who you hired. You ask anyone with a boat, they'll tell you the same thing. You know, they're beautiful and they're great, but my God, it's like a full-time job. Even if you have a manager, then you have to manage the manager. Now, in Florida, it's another story. You can get a lot of people to do boat maintenance in Florida. They do it right. The Haitians are hard workers. And you can get a lot of work done down that area, but you can't account. Northern California has the worst labor force in the United States of America. It's an immigrant labor force that's corrupt and out of control because the white middle class individuals who hire them basically bend over backwards. They're catering to them. Oh, yeah, how are you? How are you? How are this? How are that? Da-da-da-da. And they don't do the job or they rob you. And you have to stay on top of them. So I gave it up. Who needs a boat? But that's a little off the topic. I don't want to sit in the back of my boat and just watch the world go by. I'd rather be engaged with life, so I intend to do radio as long as I can, as long as I'm given the opportunity to have stations or however else I could reach you, and I'll do a couple of books, and then I told you that I'm going to do other things. God's given me these extra years. I want to do something more. I want to do something with people is what I'm saying to you. Being in radio is very odd. It's a phenomenal thing, but on the other hand, you're disconnected from reality. Here I am talking to millions of people every day, right? I don't know them. I'm talking with you. You think I'm your friend. I come across in the speaker as though I'm viscerally in the car with you. Or if you're on an Android or a device, it's like a voice in your head. I'm like somebody in your life. I'm part of the geography of your mind. I know that. I have one of those unique abilities to connect with people. Everyone knows that in the media. It's been studied. There are some successful hosts who can't do that. And there are some unsuccessful hosts who can do that. I'm one of the people who can make you feel as though you know me. I connect with you immediately on a visceral level. I just have that ability. Now, God gave me that ability to reach out through the airwaves, the radio waves, and touch people. And that's an important thing to know. On the one hand, it's a power. On the other hand, it's got some inherent dangers in it. And maybe I want to just deal with real people for a while. Maybe I just want to do a simple thing like marry people. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be beautiful to be at a wedding? It'd be a beautiful thing to just marry every week, have another wedding to look forward to. You know what I'm saying? Gives you something to look forward to and get the pictures and the kids, to have kids and whatever. So that's what I'm thinking about. What is fundamentally more powerful than a man and a woman getting married? It's the brick of a society, is man and woman. It's the brick of a society, is a marriage. It's the essence of all of humanity, is marriage between a man and a woman. There's nothing more profound, by the way. It doesn't always work out. We get it. Often marriages end in bitterness. We know that as well. It's a sad truth, but it doesn't mean you stop trying. You stop breathing because one of these days you're going to stop breathing. No, you keep breathing until you stop breathing. So you don't destroy an institution just because the institution is flawed or that people are going on the rocks. And what I'm saying is that the institution of marriage is the most profound brick of any society in the history of the world. All civilizations, whether it be the primitive or the most advanced, have always recognized that. Now, the institution is shattered in this country because of elements that I will not talk about in this show. They have virtually destroyed the institution of marriage. It was an intent and a desire to do so. But that doesn't mean that people should stop getting married. And that's why I want to go into that part. I think that that's what I want to do it as much as for that reason as any other. Anyway, I've made my point. We have other things to talk about, straight political. Tomorrow's a huge day. And we have another hour to keep talking about it right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. You know about the narcissistic nurse in Maine who says, I'm fine. I don't need to go into quarantine. I know more than everybody. I'm a good person. I'm sad to report to you that her roommate has Ebola. Sheila Panette of the Maine CDC has released information that the roommate of Casey Hickox, the narcissistic nurse, the roommate while in West Africa has displayed signs of Ebola. I'll repeat again, the narcissistic nurse will go down in history as our Typhoid Mary if this woman is not taken off the streets immediately. This woman is a clear and present threat to everyone around her. Everybody knows that except the psychotics in the New York Civil Liberties Union and the nutcases in the CDC and the moron in the White House. The nurse's roommate in Africa became infected without knowing how she became infected with Ebola. This is one of 35 points that Sheila Panetta, the Maine CDC, made while filing a verified petition for a public health order with the state. What did arrogant nurse Casey Hickox know about her roommate's Ebola, and when did she know it? The nurse in Maine who refuses to be quarantined, well, her roommate had Ebola. How do you feel about that? Lock her up. Throw away the key. Who is she to say she's well? I know better than anybody. I don't need to put myself in the quarantine. And she gets a shyster lawyer from New York Siegel to come up there and fight the state. I would say that she should be locked up against her will and put into forced quarantine because she's putting everyone at risk. Period. End of story. That's my opinion. You agree or disagree with me? Of course you agree with me. Now, of course, we still have Obama. I named him President Ebola, which has caught on. I have many, many names that I've created that have caught on, which is nice. I don't need the credit for it. Just keep using it. But President Ebola is the reason Americans are panicked over Ebola, is because Obama's incomprehensible statements on Ebola are what's freaking people out. Listen to clip number 8, and you'll hear why the people are freaking in America. 8.
I know that with all the headlines and all the news, that people are scared. I know that Ebola has concerned them. But the reason I'm so proud of this country is because when there are times where we need to step up and do the right thing,
watch out when he gets sincere.
That's who we are.
Watch out.
That's what we do.
Oh, boy.
No other nation is doing as much to help in West Africa as the United States of America.
That's because they don't have a bozo like you in the head of the government. You're the only one who would think that you have to help in Africa. Why don't you look at home? You know, charity begins at home, Mr. Obama. Why don't you take care of the veterans that you spit on during the sequester? You're real noble when it comes to Africa and Africans, but American veterans, you spit on them. Remember you closed down the war memorial just to be spiteful? You're the most spiteful president in American history. You're a shame to the office. Don't tell us we're doing good. It's you taking our money and spending it where nobody wants it spent. So when this guy goes on, all of a sudden, when he starts to whisper, like, when he gets down with his sincere voice, you better run for the hills. That's all I can tell you. Now, the fact of the matter is, we're all worried about Ebola. We're worried about a rogue president. We're worried about a mad State Department memo that wants to bring African Ebola patients here. We're worried about an individual who cannot defeat ISIS, a ragtag army without heavy equipment, without an air force. It's going on longer than the Battle of Midway, for example. It's unbelievable. But that's not what most of us think about. You, the man in the street, you're thinking about the economy, the economy, the economy. Why? Because Obama, as a lifetime Leninist, Marxist, socialist, any way you want to put it, just say incompetent college teacher, if you wish, has conducted a war on the middle class from the get-go. Here is what I wrote. The goals of this administration's economic policies are simple. Funnel increasingly worthless billions of dollars into the hands of the economic vultures that have taken over the economy, while increasing the number of Americans dependent on the federal government to support them at a subsistence level. That's a remarkable beginning to Chapter 5 of Stop the Coming Civil War. You've got to understand what happens when leftists are allowed to take over governments at any level and redistribute wealth that rightfully belongs to the people that earn it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So we're a breath away from book banning, and then two breaths away from book burning. Because right now we have the equivalent of book blocking in that I've told you there's been a concerted effort to bury my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. And it's very important you understand why this will affect you in your lifetime. One day it won't be my book. It's going to be somebody else's book, including those who are pretending that it's not going to affect them. Over the weekend, a friend of mine sent me a link. Some friend of his in Washington, D.C. sent him an email on Yahoo. And attached to the email was a picture of my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. Listen carefully. Don't turn the dial. Yahoo did not show the picture of my book. They posted the email with a warning sign saying objectionable material attached. Equivalent, let's say, to a beheading video put out by Al-Qaeda or pornography. How do you feel about Yahoo listing my book cover as objectionable material? How close is this to book banning in this country today under this imposter of a Democratic president? How do you feel about that? You didn't know about it. So I'm going to ask you, if you have a Yahoo email account, to take a picture or get a picture or whatever they call it, a screenshot of my book cover, and they're available all over the place, go to any of the sites, and try to send it as an email to somebody and see what happens, and let's see if Yahoo is continuing to do it, because if they are, I'm going to sue them. I will sue them on five or six different levels. And I'm going to ask you after we do this, how close is this to book banning under this imposter of a president? Yahoo, if you circulate a picture of my book cover on a Yahoo server or email, it's going to be associated with a warning that this is objectionable material and the book cover will be blacked out. That includes my handsome face and my right hand. Now, do you realize how close we are to what the German poet Heinrich Heine wrote in 1834 about book burning? It was sent to me by the scholar Ellis Washington, professor of law and history. And he just sent this to me. And he said, Dr. Savage, here's the 1834 book burning quote by the German poet Heinrich Heine. I'm not very good at pronouncing German. I'll do my best, and I'll translate it. It's one line. Dort wo man Bücher verbrennt man am Ende ach Menschen. Where books are burned, they will in the end burn people too. And what's astonishing about it is that he wrote that in 1834, and about 105 years later, they were burning people and books. We're going to talk about Romney for a few minutes, not for longer than that. He's not worth it. But I think he is, again, trying to destroy the Republican brand, and I wonder who sent them out. I don't know whether he works for Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or the DNC, but they couldn't have done a better job for driving people away from the polls. In case you missed it, Here is Mitt Romney. And listen carefully when he says the word illegal when he means legal, I think. Listen again. Play it again, Romney.
You're going to see a provision, first of all, to secure the border. Second of all, to deal with those who've come here illegally. And third, to make sure that our immigration policies are more open and transparent to the many people who do want to come here illegally. That's going to happen.
Okay, that does it. Open and transparent. More open and transparent to the people who do want to come here illegally. This is on the eve, the cusp of the most seminal election in modern times. They send out the Joker to undermine the conservative vote and make sure they don't vote. And yet the Washington Post says there's a 96% chance, CNN 96% chance, New York Times 70% chance of Repubes taking the Senate and holding a majority or increasing it in the House of Representatives. So why would they send Romney out? I mean, I'm asking you a question for which there's an obvious answer, right? Now we can play some music. This song is dedicated to Mitt Romney.
We will rock you.
Yeah, we will rock you, Mitt.
We will
oh, Mitt, why'd you have to do it, Mitt? So here are the questions of the day. You ready for the questions of the day? Because here they are. Are you ready to turn the show off? You switched already to music? So here are the questions of the day. I really got to do this? Here's some questions for the day. What are your predictions for tomorrow's election? Oh, God. What is the biggest reason voters have turned against the Democrats? Are voters at all interested in tomorrow's election, or will it be a low turnout except for Republicans? How do you feel about Yahoo listing my book as controversial? Objectionable, not controversial. Did you take my book and convert anyone from the D to the R column? Yes or no? Have you been able to change a D to an R using Stop the Coming Civil War? Have you been in any arguments with friends or family over this coming election? What do you feel is the most important topic in this election? I would say that it's the number one thing is the economy, stupid. Did you know that? You don't realize it's still the biggest problem out there. That's why the Democrats are in such trouble. They've made so many of their cronies so wealthy, they've forgotten that there's people out there who are suffering, by the way. Let's see what else is in the news. I don't know. I don't think anyone cares anymore. Maybe I could just pack up and go home. The gains of a girl. Cassie Hitchcock slams Christie for... Okay, I don't want to hear about the Ebola woman. The Ebola nurse should have been quarantined against her will. Romney says GOP will put immigration bill on Obama's desk. We've played that. Remarks of President Barack Obama's weekly address, economy. I said that. Oh, here it is. Biden. GOP Senate won't change anything about Obama's agenda. Okay. Biden says the public is frightened because it's a frightening world. All right. UK Islamist says I want all women in Britain and America covered from head to toe. Oh, that's a good one. That's a hot one. Let's hear clip 14. That should get the women excited.
Ultimately, I want to see every single woman in this country covered from head to toe. I want to see the hand of the thief cut. I want to see adultery stoned to death. I want to see Sharia law in Europe. And I want to see it in America as well.
Now, here's the question for all of you good liberals out there. I, Michael Savage, am the only member of the American media banned from entering Britain, yet they let low-class, retrovert subhumans like this walk around freely in the U.K., ask yourself a question. How come nobody in the media has mentioned that I am the only member of the American media banned in Britain? How come they didn't mention that I was banned in Britain? How come Rush Limbaugh didn't mention Stop the Coming Civil War once when he knows that this book was the most seminal publication to precede the election? Right on target, exactly what was on everyone's mind, exactly the repudiation of Obama as spelled out in 300 pages. What does that tell you about the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans? What does that tell you about talk show hosts who claim to be Republican or conservative or whatever, and yet out of spite, hatred, and jealousy, they act no differently than the worst Democrat? How does that feel to you? Now, I haven't talked about any other hosts for 6 months now, but I felt it was long overdue. It's that simple. Okay? But I don't know that I'm going to spend the rest of this year between now and Christmas eating my heart out on the radio, telling you what to do. You bought the book or you're going to buy the book. You have the information. You're going to have to do it as well as everyone else. You're going to have to go to your congressman and say, look, we didn't just give you a free pass here. You're going to have to do something, and you're going to have to defend our borders, language, and culture. It's all in this book. So I'm going to go on to other topics is what I'm saying to you. What else is in the news? No, that's horrible. The news is awful. I just got an instant migraine looking at those headlines. The fact of the matter is, listen to me. You've been with me for years, most of you. Most of you are not new listeners. And I realize that many of you have listened to me for years. Some have listened to me since you're little children. Do you know that? Do you know that I meet people who grew up as children listening to this show who are now full adults? I have met people who were babies who are now married as a result of the politics that they picked up on this radio show. Their minds were formed by thinking about what their mother or father was saying to them while listening to the Savage Nation. So it's been quite a long while. I mean, the thing is, it's 20 years of radio. You're bound to make a lot of friends and a lot of enemies. But the thing is I would rather talk to my friends than my enemies, and I wish my enemies would just go away. I don't need them. I don't need these Lilliputians. They don't matter much to me. They can't hurt me because I never make a mistake that will let them hurt me. And they're just wasting their time. They ought to look for a better thing to do with their time to try to bring down people like myself, who so many people love and respect and admire. And despite all of the naysayers, the haters on the left, including the haters on the fake right, my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, I've got to tell you, I began as a poet and as a writer. Truthfully, it's not literature in that regard. I get it. But every word in that book, every sentence, every paragraph, every chapter title is mine. The king has no clothing. Everyone can see through you now, Mr. Obama. I mean, Australia just hermetically sealed themselves off, and they're a continent unto themselves, and they've sealed themselves off. They said, no one's coming in with Ebola. No one's traveling from West Africa. Goodbye. And so have 30 other countries. So let me tell it to you again, all of you morons out there who are going to vote D on Tuesday. Listen to me, morons, if you think this is just an entertainment. You ready for this, morons? Put your car on the roadside. African nations surrounding Liberia and other Ebola-stricken nations have banned all travel in and out of these Ebola-stricken nations with these other African nations, which tells us what, Democrat morons? Tells us that third-world African dictators care more about their people than does our dictator. He is a liar through and through. The science doesn't support what he's saying. Politics doesn't support what he's saying. But more than those factors, common sense doesn't support what he is saying. The average person who may have gone to the sixth grade knows he's lying. You take an illegal alien from Mexico working on a construction site, and you speak to him in Spanish, and you say to him, hey, listen, you know what Ebola is? Sure, I know what Ebola is. You know that it wasn't here until the president let them in from Africa. Yeah, I know that. Do you think we should let more in from Africa to treat them here? No. Well, what would you do, Pedro? Oh, man, I would shut off all travel from Africa into the country. Man, I don't want to get it. I don't want my kids to get it. It's common sense. How do you think the human race has survived these millennia? Through common sense. Not through a high education. Not through men in white coats with stethoscopes doing agitprop. Common sense has kept your ancestors alive, and it's probably kept you alive long enough to listen to this show. There's a nefarious reason that he and his cohorts want to continue to bring in Ebola-stricken patients to this country, and why he refuses to impose a travel ban on such countries. There must be a travel ban. As a matter of fact, there must be a quarantine, and he refuses to even do that. Matter of fact, his own military has turned on him. But the military has turned on this commander-in-chief because they don't want their troops to die. So they're putting in a 21-day quarantine on all the troops that are being forced against their will to go to Africa to work on this Ebola epidemic. So at least they're saying, all right, we have to send these young men and women over there, and they don't want to be at risk. They don't want to infect the whole military and their families. We'll put them in a quarantine for 21 days. They know what we're facing. They know how dangerous the situation is. And the last thing they want to do is infect the United States military with Ebola. So they put in a 21-day quarantine. But not President Ebola, who doesn't know Ebola from Shinola, because he's listening to the wrong people. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, the big story, of course, is the election tomorrow. Everyone's talking about that, and we all know it's an anti-Obama thing, and we know the Republicans are probably going to win unless they steal the election on the other side, as they usually do in Chicago. And then, of course, they'll say that they've repudiated the Tea Party, which is utter rubbish. And they'll never even acknowledge that my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, has changed the minds of several hundred thousand, if not several million, people who were not going to vote in this election. And let me tell you what happened, which you don't know about. A friend of mine sent me an email. He was shocked. A friend from Washington, D.C. sent them a link to my book cover, Stop the Coming Civil War. And it was sent on a Yahoo server. Yahoo listed it as objectionable material, as though it was a beheading video or pornography. So now Yahoo is making my book the equivalent of a beheading video or pornography. This is tantamount to book banning. Do you understand what's going on in this country? We're only a few degrees of separation from a totally fascistic state where the First Amendment is gone, up in smoke, under this president of ours called President Obola. You got it? Never forget what I just said to you. My book cover for Stop the Coming Civil War, if you try to send it on a Yahoo server, find out the person you're sending it to if they're actually able to get it. It comes with a warning label, warning, objectionable material. I wonder who's behind Yahoo. I wonder what their connection is to Obama. Do you have any idea? Well, you better get some idea because we're in real trouble. Here are some of the stories I was following today. The food stamps crisis is ignored in nearly 98% of network stories. The American food stamps program has experienced unprecedented and unsustainable growth under the Leninist President Obama, according to experts. But the three broadcast networks will not remind voters of that record number of Americans on food stamps under the first socialist communist Leninist president. Or more than 46 million Americans have been on food stamps for 35 straight months. Here's another story. Why hasn't the Army report on Bo Bergdahl been released? They're not releasing it until after the election. And the report will no doubt show that Sergeant Bergdahl was a deserter, as we all thought, and that Obama committed treason by trading him for five Taliban battle commanders. Romney has basically thrown a damper on the Republican chances. He said that the GOP will put immigration bill on Obama's desk the minute they win. Thanks, Mitt. We need you like a hole in the head. The EDV-68 epidemic that is raging throughout America and has struck thousands of kids this fall came from Obama's border policy, which I've been telling you about for months. Read the article. It came out on the Daily Caller. They do not acknowledge me. They acknowledge an unknown epidemiologist, which is just as well. I'm used to living in the Soviet Union. Marine dad barred from school over protest of Islam curriculum. You hear this? And you're telling me there's no inroads being made by radical Islam? You're mistaken. Here are the questions we've been talking about on the program today. What are your predictions for tomorrow's election? What is the biggest reason voters have turned on and turned away from the Democrats? Are voters at all interested in the results of tomorrow's election? Do you think so? Are you generally optimistic or pessimistic about the future of the U.S. and why? Why is Yahoo calling my new book objectionable? Did you read it? Did you convert one person from the D to R column by showing them one paragraph, one set of facts from Stop the Coming Civil War? You have one night left to do your job for America. Good night and God bless America.
Savage.